One night we were coming back from Hanover at the, no, Haverhill from the DOE meeting, and we bought a map so we could find Jim Dennis. And we found him on McGinty Road in Dalton. And after we had a very interesting meeting with him and his wife and son and dogs, we came back home up 135, and Rick pointed out the first pole that he climbed when he worked for public service. So it's been a very interesting 6-8 months, whatever. Our next speaker and last speaker is Jim Dennis, who is a landowner in Dalton. He's many other things. I'll let him tell you that or not tell you that. But he is a numbers person, and he understands a lot about what we're faced with. And he's been everywhere, and he's spoken to a lot of people, and people listen to Jim. And they're a little bit afraid of Jim. I mean, look at how tall he is. And he came up from Dalton today to Beecher Falls on his bicycle. Took him 3 hours, I guess, to go 57 miles. So don't mess with Jim.
Yeah, I want to ride back downhill. Thanks, John. So I promised to keep this to less than 10 minutes. If you listened carefully to all the things that Rick Sampson just said, you probably feel a little bit scared. You've got a huge company, Hydro-Quebec, who wants to take your land. You've got projects that are worth billions of dollars, projects that will generate $50 billion of revenue over the 40-year life of the deal. There's huge money that we're standing against. There are huge companies we're standing against. They have armies of lawyers, armies of consultants, armies of everything. And they think they can just do what they want with us and toss us aside. It's not true. It's absolutely not true. And in answer to the question about politics, it's absolutely all about politics. And with respect, my own view is so far we are winning and we are doing great. Look at the start of this process. Sandy and I came to a meeting in Colebrook in December. After we saw a line drawn across our property. And the first person who stood up was a well-known local politician who said, this is a done deal. You should sort of look at it and see where it's going to go, maybe tweak it here, twist it there, but it's a done deal. Because of the people in this room, it is absolutely not a done deal. What have we done in the course of 6 months? We have changed the discussion. This started off as a discussion of a transmission line that's great for New England, great for New Hampshire. In this room, the people changed the framing of that dialogue. Now it's a deal all about $1 billion a year to Hydro-Quebec. They can't run away from that brush of black paint. It's a very effective brush. It's a deal about $60 million a year to Northeast Utilities. It's a deal about private property being taken by private corporations for private benefit. That's not how these people wanted to frame the discussion. They had no idea that the people in this room could reframe the discussion in those terms. We have done it. We have done it successfully. We have a property rights groundswell due to Larry Rappaport and others that is saying in a very clear voice, you don't take our land for private profits. That's a really simple message. The New Hampshire State Legislature voted overwhelmingly. I just read an analyst's meeting between this guy, Shivery, whatever his name is, and all these Wall Street analysts. They're worried about Larry Rappaport's eminent domain bill. This is the first question that the chairman and CEO of Northeast Utilities is asked on a call by people from New York to talk about the company. They are scared to death about what the people in this room have been doing. So, I agree. It's totally about politics. I agree we've got to step up the game, but we should all be very proud of what we've done so far. We have changed the momentum of this fight. We're going to continue to do it. So the word... The word stakeholders came up and was carefully defined as not including any of us. Everybody in the opposition has a different skill, and the nice thing about the opposition is nobody manages it. Nobody tells Atta Girls what to do. Nobody tells Rick Sampson what to research. Nobody tells Dave what to say. Nobody tells John who to invite to a meeting. We do what we do well, and we do it because we believe it. This project is wrong. Sandy and I view ourselves as having a skill of making ourselves stakeholders. We like to insert ourselves into the process, which we tend to do a lot because we used to be in the environment of Hydro-Québec and their lawyers and their consultants. That's what we did in business. We were in that kind of business, not making power lines, but in the business of big transactions and big deals. So we understand their pressure points. And what I want to say today very quickly is that in terms of becoming stakeholders and the political process, and Julie is expert at this, what's the sort of game plan that you do when you're fighting a big, nasty company? You identify their mistakes, you publicize them, you frame the issues in your own way, you discredit them, but most important, you use the political process effectively. You leverage. We're little, they're big. We find a way to nip at their ankles and tip them over and make them fall the direction we want to. So what Sandy and I have been doing is we've been saying, how do we find a way every single time these people say something to discredit what they say? It's a starting point in the political process. We're far away from the end of the process, but we're trying right now to be sure every single thing they say, we discredit. And we're doing it now because we want to be able to say during a Senate hearing or during a site evaluation committee or during the next piece of legislation next year, these people are not to be believed, they're not credible, they are not New Hampshire people, and we shouldn't listen to them. So I'm going to give you three examples in the interest of time. Northern Pass hired a very fancy PhD, and his name is Mr. Chalmers. Mr. Chalmers put up a report on the Northern Pass website, and he told the world that if they put a transmission line, Northern Pass, across your land, it would only knock down your property value by 3 to 6%. Mr. Chalmers wrote that in words of one syllable. He put numbers on the piece of paper, and he signed it. Put a little hedge in there saying maybe it's up to 10% in some cases. We thought, gee, that's just plain untrue. And it matters to everybody up here because we care about our property values. So how do we discredit Mr. Chalmers? We hired our own appraiser. We hired a New Hampshire appraiser. We hired a New Hampshire appraiser to do a certified appraisal of three pieces of land. And we said, there are pieces of land. If the transmission line were built across our land, what would it do to the value? Would, in fact, it do what Mr. Chalmers says and only affect our value by 3 to 6% or maybe 10%? No. For a 12-acre building lot, the appraisal said that in New Hampshire, for land with a decent view, not a knock-your-socks-off view, just a decent view, for a 12-acre building lot, it would knock the value down by 92%. 92%. Compare that with 6%. For a 30-acre field, it would knock it down by more than 80%. For a 130-acre mix of forest and field, it would knock it down by more than 60%. Remember, folks, Northern Pass has said, our lines don't really affect you, you're still going to have tourists coming up, you know, you're just NIMBYs complaining, and they've used these numbers to try to make us all feel assuaged and comfortable. They've used these numbers to say they're going to be tax benefits. It's just not true. It is just not true. So point number one, the most important point in this whole affair is property, property value, property rights. They're lying to you, folks. They're telling you that your property isn't going to be affected. It's just not true. Point number two, they've told you that they have carefully reviewed all possible routes, and they've made 500 alternatives. They've chosen only the routes that are the least impactful routes that will hurt our communities only a tiny, tiny little smidgen. We thought we'd test that assertion. And so we looked at the route that they drew across our property. We hired another consultant, some natural resources, wetland scientist types, and we said, evaluate the route they drew across our land. Is it a low-impact route or a high-impact route? Well, guess what? It's about the stupidest route a person could choose. As Sandy and I concluded and wrote in these words to the Department of Energy, if we had hired someone to lay the worst possible route across our land, it would be the route Northern Pass chose. Why is that? It went right smack through three wetlands, right smack through a bunch of hydric soils, right smack over historic cellar holes, right through the middle of a field, right in an area that was visible in all directions. It was a stupid place to put it. So point number two, don't believe what they're telling you about routes. It's just not true. Point number three, they tell you that one of the main benefits of the Northern Pass proposal is it will produce somewhere between, what's the latest propaganda, 1,200 and 1,600 jobs? Oh my goodness. I mean, I promised you 10 minutes. I could speak for hours on this. So we generally don't like to comment on Northern Pass's own websites because it gives them credibility. But as Sandy says, I couldn't restrain myself. And so we sat down, we wrote two comments, and they're on the Northern Pass Project Journal. They've now been published. Northern Pass's objective economist, Ms. Lisa Shapiro, a registered lobbyist for Northern Pass, issued this report saying there will be 1,200 to 1,600 jobs by the construction project. Again, for attribution, it is simply untrue. It's just like the study she did of taxes, saying that Northern Pass will create new tax revenue. All they looked at was half the story. They said, well, if we spend some money in Pittsburgh, some more people will be employed in service industries, blah, 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 and so there'll be more jobs. She didn't look at any of the negatives. What happens to tourist industries? What happens to biomass plants? What happens to the real estate sector? What happens to people who just lost 90% of the value of their house lot and they're not going to be spending money anymore? She looked at half the story. It's just not true. For an area up here, it's also wonderful. She projected that cutting the new right-of-way would generate 220 job years of work for loggers and land clearers. 220 job years. So Sandy and I went and we took our calculators out. We said, what does that mean? So we calculated, we said, let's assume 60 miles of right-of-way, 150 feet wide, and let's see how many acres would she assume a crew of four mechanized loggers and clearers would clear in a year. Her assumption is that four of our best loggers and land clearers would be able to clear 26 acres a year. 26 acres a year. Now give me a break. I could clear 26 acres a year, for crying out loud. It's an example of what's happening here. We're being given ridiculous, bad information. We can sit back and we can let it flow and let it flow all over and frame the debate, or we can all become stakeholders. Every single time we see something like this put out, we can say it's not true. And then the question becomes, what do we do about it? What do we do with it? We need to establish that this project has no credibility in the political process. It's not time to do that yet, in my view. We have to look to people like Larry to help us and other people who are more sophisticated politically. But we have to be able to establish at the right time that this project has no credibility, the sponsors have no credibility, and that in the New Hampshire political process, it should not be taken seriously, even as against the flows of money. And so Sandy and I, as people who like to be stakeholders, we're looking forward to going to the New Hampshire Public Utilities Commission when Northern Pass applies to be a public utility and raising our hands and saying, excuse us, but your statute says a public utility should have something called integrity. Let us give you six examples of false and misleading statements made by this company in the process of trying to get this project approved. That's just one of the things we can do. The most important thing we can do is talk to each and every one of our senators, our representatives on the federal and state level, and keep saying we're sick and tired of being told lies. We are entitled to respect. We're entitled to have a debate on the merits and demerits of a project in a serious way. And politicians who don't insist on that must be replaced. They must be replaced. And the power to do that sits in this room. Thank you.